sing out a song. I sing out a love song. Jesus, in moments like these, I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up my hands. Sing it that way again together. Singing, I love. Oh, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love. Love him tonight. How many is happy to be in church again together? Amen. Let's sing this old song together. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Oh, and something good is bound to happen.
Let's stand and sing it tonight. We're together again. Oh, we're praising the Lord. We're together again.
Thankful for that tonight. What a blessed people we are to know that we're free. Scripture said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Brother Luke Gibson's preaching for us again tonight, so looking forward to the services, whatever the Lord has for us, and also tomorrow morning he'll be preaching for us again for our Sunday morning service. We won't be having an evening service tomorrow due to the special meetings, so No Sunday evening service tomorrow here, but also just wanted to say a quick thank you to some folks that have really helped out. And I know when you start thanking people, you're sure to miss somebody, so I do apologize if I miss somebody. But Brother Joel and Sister Christy, they've been cleaning the church for some time, and they've just really this last week just done an extra effort to really make sure everything was nice for these special meetings. So we would just want to thank them. And Brother Jeremy and Sister Lisa Cooley helped them a lot, and Sister Ashley Cooley, I believe, and Sister Mita. So we just want to thank them for their work here at the church, to everything they do to help. And sometimes some of you might notice, and then others, some of you may notice some of the things that they do, but we certainly appreciate all the, they've touched up the paint and repainted a few rooms and painted doors and just did all kinds of things to make the church look nice for the people. So we appreciate that. And Sister Patty Hansel, we had had prayer for her sister's father-in-law last night. They had stat lifted him to a hospital, and had a heart attack, and they lifted him by air to a hospital, and he had had two stents. They were wound up able to put two stents in what they call the widowmaker artery last night, and he's doing well. So just want to continue to remember him in prayer for continued recovery, but want to praise the Lord for coming on the scene in that situation. Also, my sister Debbie, she's not feeling well tonight, so want to remember her in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. I'm going to ask Brother Trevor if he'd just come lead us in a word of prayer over these requests tonight. Good to have all of our visitors tonight. Good to have all you home folks as well.
Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, the great I am, this evening. Father, just saying those words, the great I am, and thinking on who that is ought to just humble us, Lord. To know, Lord, that what we're asking for is the God that created the universe, the God, the Almighty One, the great King. Lord, that we can even address you. Oh, how it humbles us, Lord. So, Lord, tonight we come before you humbly, adoring you, Lord, asking for you, Lord, to come into our midst, Lord, to change our lives, to strengthen our spirits, Lord, to prepare us for the trials and tribulations that no doubt are just around the bend for us, Lord, as we see the hour approaching. But Lord, build us up, strengthen us by your word, Father. We're so needy of it, Lord. Lord, and for the one that was that had the heart attack, Lord, continue to bring healing to that body, Father. Oh, Lord, for all the unspoken requests, Lord. Lord, these unspoken requests, Lord, maybe we could think in our minds that they're not so important because they're not written down, Lord. But, Lord, it's because they're not written down and they're so near and dear to our hearts, Lord. There are things that we are afraid of or Lord, things that we're holding so dear to us, and we just don't know what way that they could be done, Lord. But Lord, we hold them before you, Lord, because we know no other way, Lord, but to bring them before you. So Lord, the collection of each need on each heart, Lord, we offer them up to you, Father. We're not big enough, we're not strong enough, we can't do it, but Lord, we know you can. So Lord, help us to release them to you, Lord, that you can take complete control and have preeminence in each heart. Be with us in the service. Bless Brother Luke, Lord. Anoint him to speak to us, Lord. Lord, anoint us to hear what it is that you are trying to speak through us, through these broken vessels, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I believe Brother Anthony and Sister Stephanie and Brother Richie have a special for us this evening.
Dusty in the garden, you
Amen. You appreciate that tonight? Amen. Brother Buckles, did you have a special for us this evening?
See, it's page 100. Once I was alone by the highway thinking, his eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bid his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the found the Savior able. They can conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken heart had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself. Tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to save. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away.
Appreciate our specials. Amen. That's the truth. That's the only thing that can change many situations. When the doctors give you up, when your family gives you up, when it seems like there's no hope. But when Jesus comes, things can change. Amen. God bless you. I think most of us, this can be our testimony. Oh, I've never made a fortune. Probably too late now. Oh, but I'm not worried about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, Lord, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. Drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Is that how you feel about it tonight? Though I ain't got a lot of riches, oh, sometimes the going's rough. Oh, but I've got a friend in Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all His blessings, all the mercy He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Lord, and if I should go on living and my way gets steep and rough, oh, I won't ask for other blessings, 'cause you know, Lord, I'm already blessed enough. Lord, may I never get help my brother bear his load. Or I'll keep drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Thank you, Jesus. No, I ain't got a lot of riches. Lord, sometimes I'm going rough. Oh, but I've got a friend. So that makes me rich enough. Oh, I thank God for all His blessings, all the mercy He bestows. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Let's stand and sing it. No, I ain't got a lot of riches. Lord, you know, sometimes the going's rough. Oh, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. Oh, I thank God for all His blessings, all the mercy. I'm drinking from my saucer. Amen. Oh, let's keep singing it while His presence is here. Brother Luke, if you just go ahead and come to the platform. No, I ain't got a lot of riches. Oh, sometimes the going's rough. But I've got a friend in Jesus. God for all His blessings. Oh, I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. You can look at the little bride, she ain't got a lot of riches. Oh, and for us down here, Lord, sometimes it's rough. Oh, but we've got a friend in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So that makes us rich enough. Oh, I thank God for all His blessings, all the mercy He's bestowed. Thank you, Lord. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is over.
Well, it's an awesome song, isn't it? Speaks to every one of us tonight. We sure appreciate the Lord, amen, for allowing us to, amen, serve Him in this age. Amen. What a great privilege that is tonight. I sure appreciate God. Now, if it wasn't for His grace, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here tonight. God's grace is good to us, amen. So we sure appreciate the Lord, amen. You may be seated just a moment. Is it all right? Amen. before we change the order of service. Sister, we want to use you some more. Amen. Brother Charlie, where's Brother Charlie? Come on, Brother Charlie, sing for us tonight. Amen. How many's glad to be a Christian? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Wouldn't live one day without this presence. Boy, you can feel God here.
Through it all. Yes.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God brought blessed consolation. And only through my trials, He makes me strong. Sing with me. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His word. I've been a lot of places, I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. Oh yes. In those lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, God let me know that I was His own. Amen. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned, oh, trust in God. Through it all. Upon His word. Well, I thank Him for the mountains. I thank God for the valleys. And I thank Him for the storms. Oh, we've all been there. But if I never, ever had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. Amen. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've
to depend upon His word. Sing it again now. Through it all, learn to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. How many believes that tonight? He's been riding now for ages. It was He who wrote the law. Once He wrote with just His finger judgment on Belshazzar's wall. He wrote a plan for all the ages. Wrote a book on bearing pain. Wrote the song for all the singers. But thank God He wrote my name.
Go down the key if you would.
Yeah, that's it. He's been writing now for ages. It was He who wrote the law. Once He wrote with just His finger judgment on Belshazzar's wall. He wrote a plan for all the ages. Wrote a book on bearing pain. Wrote the song for all the singers, but thank God he wrote my name. That's just a little high for me tonight, amen. I mean, appreciate the Lord. Amen. If you would stand with me tonight for just a moment. I'd like to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you would, this evening. Thank you, brother. Certainly a privilege to be here again tonight with you in the house of the Lord. I'm going to say a thank brother, our pastor, Brother Nathan, for giving us the invitation to come and minister the word of God to you. Amen. Every time I stand before a people that's brought with the blood of Christ, we stand before the cream of the crop. Amen. So we try to be very mindful of what we say. We certainly want to have the mind of God. Amen. Today about 3 o'clock, I sure appreciate our Lord. Amen. Being real to me and being sufficient. But I just struggled with the mind of God, but I believe I have it for tonight. I trust that God will just direct our words just for the next few moments. Several years ago, I was down in Georgia. I went down and heard a preacher preach. He had a reputation for being, as I said last night, preaching like a man used to take his girlfriend home. He'd always take her the long route. The preacher had a reputation for preaching always the long route. And he got up that night and he said, "I won't be long." He could just feel the place just relax. The preacher said he won't be long. So I'm going to try to relax tonight by telling you I won't be long. Amen. So I do appreciate Brother Nathan, his hospitality, the house we're staying in. Probably one of the most comfortable beds I've ever slept in is that bed. So I don't know who owns that house, but I want to see you after church, see if I can tie that bed on top of my car and take it home with me. And then we appreciate the fellowship and the food and just been real good to us. And I appreciate my wife being here. I don't know where she's at again. She's somewhere. Her and my two youngest are here. You know, when I dated my wife, we dated for a couple months and we decided we was going to get married. And I had to marry because my phone bills were about $1,000 a month. I'd have to get off the field for a little while, go home and work. And, you know, Dad always paid you more than you was worth. And he helped me pay my phone bills. And I told her, I said, you know, it's be cheaper if I just marry you. So I married her, and we had 7 kids later. I said, you know, it'd been cheaper if I just paid them $1,000 phone bills. 7 kids and 2 grandbabies gets pretty expensive. So, but I appreciate her tonight being here and being a, God bless me with a good wife. Amen. And Brother Bam said a wife a man chooses reflects his own character. So, and I sure believe that. Amen. So, 1 Samuel chapter 30, I would like to read one verse from here. I'd like to read verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, why do you think David had to do that? I said, buddy, any man that's got 500 wives needs a lot of encouragement. 2 Timothy, if you would. Chapter 1. Verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Wherefore I would put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of the hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Let's bow our heads this evening just for a moment. Lord Jesus, how grateful we are for your spirit. The leadership that we so sense in our lives, Lord, that without it, Father, we'd simply be lost in this dark age. But Father, you came in this hour and had mercy upon every one of us. Showed us great grace. The songs of Zion tonight, Lord, and just the sensing of the Holy Spirit. We pray now that we believe that you're mindful of your children, each one that's present tonight. Lord, in this, not just another service, that we just didn't decide to come together, but we believe before the foundation of this world, the mind of God knew about this service. You knew what we would need, Father. And Lord Jesus, we're not fit. We're not even worthy. But your grace has made us worthy. We pray now that you would set us aside, Lord, for these next few minutes. Lord Jesus, and you would speak to our hearts. May we lay aside every thought of the day. Lord, the troubles and the struggles that we face in this life, may we lay them aside, Father, to direct our hearts and minds upon you. As you speak to us the next few moments, we pray. Lord Jesus, may there not be one go out of here, Father, without realizing that they've been brought closer to the Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd lift up the heavy hands, Lord, and you'd strengthen the weak knees, O God. May you heal the sick and the afflicted among us, Lord. May your great power manifest itself in our presence now. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to say tonight that we each one realize that we're living in very discouraging times. The Bible declares it as a time of a dangerous time, times of trouble. But you know, God never puts his children in any age but what he equips us for the hour that we live in. You know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve stood there in God's Eden, in perfect fellowship with Almighty God. And we find that in God's Eden, Satan crept under the walls of the Word. And he beat Adam to his wife. There in God's Eden, to think that a man is in perfect fellowship with Almighty God. And yet, a great fall happened in the Garden of Eden. 6,000 years, Satan. You know, he said in his heart, the prophet Isaiah told us what Lucifer felt in his heart, that he would ascend to heaven, that he would exalt his throne above the stars of God, and he would be like the Most High God. Now after 6,000 years, we realize tonight that we're now living in Satan's Eden. This is not God's Eden, this is Satan's Eden. Satan has had a marvelous success of carrying out his threats to be God. So we live in an age, there's a constant warfare against God's children. There's a great battle that goes in the minds of God's people. But I believe if God set us in this age of Laodicea and put us in the middle of Satan's Eden, God did not put us here without equipping us to face this hour. Now in the beginning, Satan came into God's Eden and beat Adam to his wife. But God has come down into Satan's Eden and has beat Satan to this wife. And he pregnated us before the foundation of the world. And he predestinated that there be a bride in this age that would not fall. But even though we realize that it's predestined, and the scripture speaks about that in this age there would be overcomers, the only way that we can be overcomers is that means that we have to face some battles. If we're going to be overcomers, then that means that there's going to be some fights and some struggles that we got to go through. But tonight, if I could, by the help of God, for the next few minutes, I'd like to speak on something. And I struggled with, Lord, just give me your mind. Where would you want me to go? And about 3 o'clock today, several years ago, I spoke on this little thought and it came back to me. I'd like to speak on it tonight on the signs of an encourager. The signs of an encourager. Now, I'd like to take you back to the book of Acts. And there in the book of Acts, chapter 2, The prophet of God tells us that that's where God birthed the church into existence. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. It was the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There was 120 of them that came out of that upper room. The Bible said they were all, A-L-L, filled with the Holy Ghost. Both men and women came out of that upper room and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that they come out of there and they acted a certain way after they got the Holy Ghost. Now, brother, I just believe tonight that any man that gets the Holy Ghost, it's going to make him act different than what he used to do. It's impossible for a man to get the Holy Ghost and then not do something to his life. That power of the Holy Spirit, when it comes into a man, it transforms his life. These men were so intoxicated by the Holy Ghost. These women were so filled with the Holy Ghost that the Bible said they come out of that upper room and they were staggering like a bunch of drunks. Now, I don't know if you've ever been so filled with the Holy Ghost that you staggered like a drunk man. But you know, it determines on how much you drink of the Holy Ghost. And I said today, the reason a lot of people never get that same experience that they had on the day of Pentecost is because they're not drinking from the same bottle them apostles drank from. These men wasn't up there just sipping on a little wine, but they got intoxicated with the Holy Ghost until they came under the influence of that Spirit. They come out of that upper room. Somebody said one time, said, Brother Luke, said, we don't know really how they act on the day of Pentecost. I said, I beg to differ with you. If you've ever had that same experience, you know exactly how they act on the day of Pentecost. You remember when the prophet of God was preaching the breach? He said that sister come from the Episcopalian church, come down to our sister and told her, said, I got the Holy Ghost. Said, but shh, said, don't tell nobody about it. Brother Branham said, I doubt you got it very much. He said, when they got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he said, out the windows and the doors they went, acting like a bunch of drunks. And then the prophet of God said, and that's the genuine Holy Ghost. Now, brother, you can't be some high-class sipper. You just drink a little bit on Wednesday and you drink a little bit on Sunday and you're satisfied with how much God you get. But I believe a man can get so full of Christ that he gets intoxicated by the Holy Ghost and it influences who he is in Christ. Now, I realize a lot of people don't want that because there's a lot of pride in people today. They want enough of God just to satisfy their conscience. But brother, when they come out of that upper room, they couldn't come out of that upper room with a lot of pride in them. The way they was acting took the pride out of their hearts. They were stimulated. You say, well, I don't really know. Well, this is what the Bible said. The Bible said these men are drunk. They were acting like a bunch of drunks, and the prophet of God gave an example of how they was acting. Said they were stumbling around, stunning around. You know, the best preacher God's got is a man that's drunk on the Holy Ghost. That's the best kind of preacher God can got. Now look, Peter was a man, he didn't come out of the upper room depending on his education. Peter, as a matter of fact, the Bible said that he was an ignorant man. He couldn't even write his own name, the prophet of God said. But when he come out of that upper room full of the Holy Ghost, he was the best preacher God had. The man preached one sermon and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Today, most of our preachers have got to preach 3,000 sermons just to get one soul added to the church. There's a big difference in what a man is influenced by. But these people were full of the Holy Ghost. And when they come out of that upper room, they were manifesting the very message of Christ in you, the hope of glory. They didn't come out of that upper room preaching, Jesus is here. No, sir. They didn't come out there preaching Christ with us. They come out of that upper room preaching Christ in us, the hope of glory. Brother Branham said in the Old Testament, it was the Father, God above us. In the New Testament, when Jesus come, it was God with us. But at the day of Pentecost, it was God in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's where God lives. His presence ain't just with us. His presence is in us. And His presence should be so much in us that it intoxicates us and influences our life for Christ. Do you believe that? Say amen. Revival broke out. The Holy Ghost fell. Revival broke out. 3,000 souls
were added to the church in one sermon that the Apostle Peter preached. That's incredible. Acts chapter 3, we find that Peter preaches again. Brother Man got full of the Holy Ghost and he preached God's word. There's no way a man in this age can have the Holy Ghost and deny what God spoke. If the Holy Ghost is in a man, he won't deny what God says in this book right here. Do you believe that? Say amen, church. Acts chapter 4, we find out Peter was still preaching. John started preaching along with him. It made the cities upset. These men so full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said they was turning the world upside down. We can't even turn our neighbors upside down. But these men were turning cities upside down until the Bible said they were placed in a jail. And they were commanded to no longer preach in that name. Brother, if it don't sound like those times could return upon this generation again. We see it happening in our land today. We see the perversion everywhere. Now it's getting, you just watch. It's going to come right down to the church. Going to come right down where they threaten the church to try to get us to compromise on God's word. But let me say this tonight. God's got some men with some backbone. God's got a church that believes what this word says. Live, die, seek, or swim, they'll believe what this word says enough in this hour. Can you say amen? But it looks like these men are put in prison. Now let me just tell you this. They weren't PC preachers. And what I mean by that is not a, I don't mean personal computers. I mean they weren't politically correct. They didn't say it in a way that made everybody happy. I've seen men can do that, but I'm just not built that way. I'm just a black and white preacher. I like to call sin, sin, and call righteousness, righteousness. I'm following the prophet this hour to preach the same exact way. You didn't have to guess what William Branham believed. When you heard that man's tape, you knew this man what he stood for. He stood for God's word. Brother, I just believe we're following the prophet that there wasn't a compromising bone in his body, amen. I believe he loved people, but he stood with God's word. Now we find out the conclusion was, they realized that these men were ignorant. They were unlearned. But the Bible said they had to take notice that these men had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, that's what we need tonight. We need men that's been with Jesus. We need a church that'll get with Jesus. Amen. Not just, look. Not just get people to church. Brother Ben said, I'm afraid we're getting people to church and not to Christ. Back in our city where I come from, everybody wears these shirts. I love my church. I asked one of them the other day. I said, I know you love your church, but my question is, do you love Jesus? Amen. You love Jesus, you love his word. You can love the church and not love Christ. Amen. Because the church today can be an entertainment center. But if you ever get the Holy Ghost, you'll love God's word. Because something in you will punch away every word of God when amen. You know who wrote this book, right? You say, well, men wrote it. No, men was just instruments by which the Holy Ghost used to write it. But the author of this word is the Holy Ghost. And if the author that wrote the word lives in you, the author in you will not deny his own word. That's why Brother Ben said, how can a man say he's got the Holy Ghost and deny the word of God? Come on, church. I'm not talking about just an anointing. I'm talking about a man being born again. That soul being quickened to eternal life. There's something in that soul that will punctuate every word of God with an amen. Praise the Lord. Great power, the Bible says, was upon the church. Not only great power, but the Bible said great grace was upon them all. Until revival broke out. The Spirit of God moved. The power of God touched people's lives. Matter of fact, listen to this. It so touched them that the Bible said, now watch this. Let me show you how you know they had the Holy Ghost. The Bible said it so moved upon them, everybody sold what they had. They were so in love with each other that the Bible said they sold everything they had. Now we're not fixing to take up an offering. Just listen to me. But they sold everything they had, laid it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to every man as there was need. Now that's a good sign whether a man's got the Holy Ghost is how he feels about his brother and sister in Christ. Because a good baptism of the Holy Ghost will put God's love down in your heart, amen. Not only for his word, but for his children, amen. Let me just say this. I come across this the other day. Not Jesus didn't teach, just love those that love you. It went deeper than that. Jesus taught even to love your enemies. Love those that don't love you. Now, brother, that's where the rubber meets the road. Oh, it's easy to love this brother right here. It's easy to love Brother Nathan. It's easy to love Brother. It might not be so easy to love me, but it's easy to love these guys. But the point being, it's easy to love people love you. But it's loving people that don't love you. It's praying for people that don't pray for you, that mistreat you. That's where Christianity, that's where the rubber meets the road tonight. And so we find out there was great love among them until they distributed every man as he had need. Now I want you to watch the background here. In chapter 4, verse 36, the Bible said, and Joseph, who by the apostles, now notice this, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted is the son of consolation. That word actually means the son of encouragement. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, watch what it says, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now let me tell you why they put this nickname on this man named Barnabas. And we're going to talk about him for a few minutes tonight. They put this nickname on Barnabas because Barnabas was such a blessing to the New Testament church. Matter of fact, they decided this man is such a blessing. We're not going to call him Joseph. We're going to call him Barnabas because Barnabas meant the son of an encourager. Now he was such a blessing. They said, let's call him the son of an encourager. You know, brother, I'll just be honest with you tonight. We need more men and women like that. That's why I said we live in such an age of discouragement. I just telling the guy today, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to think about this. I said, you know God didn't call you this message to sit around and prove whether who's got the Holy Ghost and who don't. He didn't call you to the house of God to be such a mean snake that you're the test to see if everybody got the Holy Ghost. I said, you might find out one of these days you're going to cross somebody that ain't got the Holy Ghost. But God didn't call us to be Holy Ghost testers. No, so that's God's business. If we're called to do anything, that's called to encourage others in Christ. Oh, how lacking we are in this tonight. Let me just drive this home for a few minutes. Because I met people that are such encouragers in life that I can count them on one hand. That every time you meet them, they got something positive to say. Something uplifting to say. I told a brother today, and I had to be straight. I said, look, it's very few times I hear compliments out of you. It's usually always criticism. I said, you ever thought about what spirit is motivating that? Brother Branham said, if you ain't got something good to say, don't say nothing at all. This guy was so negative, we brought up somebody's name, he just stood there and looked at us. And his silence was criticism. Because he said, well, I ain't got nothing good to say. I ain't going to say nothing at all. But if you ain't got something good to say, there's certainly something wrong with your experience. Brother Bam said that woman one time said something good about everybody. Somebody brought the devil and said, oh, he's even a good adversary. She found something good to say about the devil. A kind word, a thoughtful deed. Some experience that you can give somebody that's a life-changing experience. I heard the other day a word of encouragement during a failure is worth more than an hour of praise after success. Then I heard, fall seven times, stand up eight. Heard somebody else say, this too shall pass. What they're trying to tell you is, look, you'll make it through this. If you fall, get back up. I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes. You fall, get back up. Look, there ain't a man or woman sitting here tonight that don't make mistakes. Every one of us have fallen. Every one of us has made a mistake. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there wouldn't be none of us here tonight. Let's just be honest about it. We're not here because of good works. It's not here because we're righteous. We're here because of God's grace. Can you say amen? We neglect to realize the importance of being a blessing to those that are in Christ. Let me tell you what the prophet said. He said Jesus was just one man. And I know he says he was a perfect man. And he gave his life. He made an example for you. He made an example for me. He said, now what we must do, the first thing that I want to say, listen to this. Jesus never lived for himself. No, his life was spent for others. Then the prophet says, that's perfectly eternal life. He said, when you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life for yourself, this is powerful, you haven't got eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't need that tonight. Well, hold on a second. Jesus Christ was God himself veiled in the form of a man. He was Elohim, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, dwelt in our Lord Jesus. But did you know that there was times in Jesus' life that God had to send angels to minister to him? Literally had to send angels to encourage Christ. And he's God in flesh. Never knew what sin was. Here's my thought. If Jesus needed it, how much more do you and I need it tonight? If a man that never knew sin, a man that never failed, a man that didn't need a Savior, he was a Savior. If he needed angels of God to minister to him, how much more do you and I tonight, as fallen sons of God, that's living by the grace of God, need that much more? How much more? We live in a day that if a preacher preaches something like I'm preaching tonight of encouragement, they call him a compromiser. That's right. That's the truth. Now, if he is one, that's different. But that's not what I'm talking about. I think a man of God ought to stand there and tell the truth and preach whatever it is God tells him to preach. Amen. The important thing is we got the mind of God. The Lord knows what every one of us need in this building tonight. And I pray his Holy Spirit will anoint us in such a way to say it exactly the way we need it tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. Think about it. Why did God give us the Holy Ghost? Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, everybody say the Comforter. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now the Bible calls the Holy Ghost a Comforter. That word literally means a helper, an encourager. Oh, brother, I'm so glad when God gave me the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, an inside spirit come inside there and change my life around. I don't know where I would be tonight if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. He dealt with me as a 13-year-old boy in a Pentecostal church. I came down, gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. It wasn't nobody tricking me or fearing me into it. I felt Almighty God prick my heart. I came to the altar and gave my life to Christ. Brethren, to this day, 45 years old, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm so glad I served the Lord since a little boy. I've seen time that I didn't think I could make it. I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, what I am, what you are, it's not dependent on how we're holding on to God. It's dependent on how God is holding on to us. Praise God. Brother, could you turn that fan just a little bit? It's blowing on me and about to take my voice from me. Praise God. Amen. But there's got to be times that Holy Spirit's in you that you've got to. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself, as the Bible said. David and the Lord, I was reading the other day, a little message, Brother Van preached, Jehovah Miracles. And I've come across that statement where the prophet was talking about Mary. You know, after she was walking down that little road there, and the prophet said, you know, she was meditating on Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. Brother Van says she went along that road there. Walking down the street, there was no one there yet on the street. And she walked a little longer down the dirt path on the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, she began to realize there was something around her. Real strange feeling, he says. Oh, brother. Know about y'all people say, well, you know, we don't live by feelings. That might be true. We don't live by them, but I sure appreciate them. Amen. I said, I sure appreciate them. I sure appreciate the fact I can feel God. Amen. Brother Bam said, anything, it ain't got an emotion. Right. Amen. He said, got no feeling. These people tell me all the time, well, I'm just not an emotional person. That's why I'm like I am in church. I said, oh, nonsense. I said, let's go out to the ball field. Let's take, I don't know who y'all's player, the teams are around here, but who does everybody love around here? Cardinals, okay. How many of y'all Cardinal fans? I got a bunch of Clemson fanatics back home. Cardinal fans. Go to Cardinals. Is that baseball? Basketball. Sorry. Tell how much I know about it. Well, that's like our deacon. I had a deacon when I first come to pastor in South Carolina. He was a black brother. And he hung around them white people so much they stole all of his soul. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, look, he was a song leader for us. I said, look, you ain't going to song lead for me as long as you keep trying to act like a white man, sing out your nose. I said, black folk don't sing that way. I said, they sing from the soul down in here. He said, well, I'm not that way. And one day he pulled up in the church and he had some what they would call black gospel playing. Now I seen him out there moving next to the car like this. I said, uh-huh. There's so much for that stuff, ain't no soul. So one day he asked me to go down, my wife and I go down to watch Clemson basketball. And they were playing somebody. And he already told me, now I'm just not an emotional person now. So we go down to the basketball game and we're sitting there and Clemson's losing. One of the boys get the ball and they dribble down this end and slam dunk and it sends them ahead. That brother, I'm serious, jumped up out of that seat about 2 feet in the air. Woo! And I told my wife, I leaned over, looked at him, and I said, you wait till Sunday. I said, no, everybody's emotional, but you get emotional over what you love. You get in love with Christ, and you come to the house of God, and you let his presence come in. There's going to be some emotion that comes out of you. Or, brother, something wrong on the inside. Maybe a good Holy Ghost filled meeting is what people's afraid of. But sometimes that's just what we need. We need to stomp our pride under our feet and say, Lord, I don't care how the Holy Ghost, if it makes me want, any way it makes me want to act, I'll do exactly what the Holy Ghost wants me to do. Don't care how much you spend on your hairdo. You can fix it again. Amen, church. So I just don't believe in the, you know, that emotion stuff. Well, nonsense. Everybody's got emotion. That's right. Brother Bam said, Mary was there, that strange feeling come. Oh, he said, that's the most wonderful experience. I trust that everybody here has an experience of them at times. If you haven't, this would be a good night to start. Amen. Just start thinking about him. Worship him in your heart. And all of a sudden you'll feel a close fellowship of the Holy Spirit around you. Listen to this. And it gets so anointed till you can't hold it any longer. You'll raise your hands up or do something. You just can't stand still when it comes. Glory to God. See. Well, that's just the way it is. The Holy Ghost brings a response out of people. And that's what it did to them on the day of Pentecost. Then that Holy Ghost got him and they come out of there staggering like a bunch of drunks. Amen. Drinking, intoxicated. They wasn't up there sipping on Jim Beam or whiskey. They were drinking on the Holy Ghost. It's what the Bible calls new wine. And they were intoxicated by the Holy Ghost. They come out of that upper room under the influence of the power of Christ. Peter was so influenced by that Holy Spirit that he actually could identify the present tense word that was being made manifest for that hour. When they said they were drunk, he said, hey, it's only 9:00 in the morning. These ain't drunk as you folks suppose. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, saith God. What he do? He identified the scriptures that was being interpreted for that age. There's a good evidence of a man being filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only the love of God's in his heart, he can identify the present tense scripture that's being made manifest for his hour. Hallelujah. But see, you want to leave that reputation. You want to have that. You want to leave that kind of life for others. That's what the prophet's talking about, is living for others. To have that kind of a testimony. Now I want you to think about this background just for a second. We find that an encourager will produce actions while others produce acting. Let me show this to you. And I'll illustrate it. Barnabas seen that the church had needs. God moved upon Barnabas' heart. Let me tell you why that the needs came up that way. We see it right now today starting to happen. Right in this land. People that own businesses and refuse to do certain things for a certain community. They're ostracized. They're penalized. Years ago in the early church, when you became a Christian and you identified with Christianity, your very business could be ostracized. They wouldn't patronize your business because of your identification with Christ. This is what happened to the early church. And then they end up losing all that they had. And Barnabas saw the need. This is what the scripture said. Barnabas owned a piece of land. I'm talking about a wealthy piece of land. Worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Property that was in Cyprus where it was rich. Very rich in copper. Metals. And Barnabas sold his property worth untold amounts of money, history says. And then Barnabas saw the need. Now watch this. He didn't make a big deal out of it. He didn't advertise it. He wasn't letting his left hand know what his right hand was doing. He didn't want to do something for the church and then everybody recognized Barnabas for it. That wasn't his motive at all. He saw a need and he wanted to do something for the church. Now watch what happens. So what did he do? He sold it. He gave it to the church. Now you know what happened? All of a sudden, you turn the end of the chapter, you come to chapter 5, and you see another people that sell their property. But these people wasn't selling their property for the same reason Barnabas was. So Barnabas was acting out of a heart that John talks about, that said, whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother in need and shut up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Barnabas saw the need. He didn't want the glory. He just wanted to be a blessing. And all of a sudden, chapter 5 opens up. And the scripture talks about a man named Ananias and his wife named Sapphira. And they went out and sold a piece of land too. And what they did, their whole motive for selling that land was wrong. So while one was producing action, the other was producing acting. This man wanted no glory. These people wanted to be noticed. But what they didn't realize it, there was somebody there that was greater than the apostles that knew what was going on. So they said, what we'll do. Look, here's the strange thing. What they did was a free will offering anyways. It wasn't no command of God for them to go sell their property. They're the ones that wanted to sell their property. If they wanted to do anything right, they could have said, look, we sold our property. We want to give the church this amount. We want to keep this amount. And it's a done deal. But their motive was wrong. They seen what Barnabas did. They seen how the apostles recognized Barnabas. Not that Barnabas wanted it. But they said, he's not Joseph. We'll call him Barnabas, the son of an encourager. And they saw that and thought, we could do the same thing. But brother, it was out of a different motive. And so Ananias and Sapphira sold the property. They go down there to the apostles, walk into the house. Peter's standing there, but there was somebody more than Peter that was standing there. There was the Holy Ghost there. Brother, you can believe for sure tonight the Holy Ghost knows our hearts tonight. You know what they did? They lied about what they'd done. And Peter told him, said, you hadn't lied to me. You hadn't lied to the apostles. You lied to the Holy Ghost. And the man dropped dead. And the word didn't get back to his wife. She come in, told the same story, and she dropped dead and packed them both out. And the Bible said great fear fell upon the church. Do you know that the prophet God told us in the last sermon he ever preached that the days of Ananias and Sapphira would return back to the church? Go look at communion 1965. He told them to return back to the church. In other words, there won't be a place for hypocrisy in the church. God ain't looking for hypocrisy. God's looking for people that's got pure motives, pure hearts. Amen. God's looking for some Barnabases. Praise God. Real encouragers that will do the right thing. But remember, every time there's somebody that does the right thing, there's always a hypocrite that follows it. But look, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If there's a hypocrite, then it's got to be based off of something that's genuine. Amen? I've heard people for years preach against false anointed. I said, my God, you preach against false anointed so long you ain't even got the anointing. That's the truth. You're so worried about the false anointed ones. I said, you know, even in our government, they teach people how to detect false dollar bills. You know how they teach them to do it? They don't sit around and rub false all day long. They feel the real ones. Then every now and then you slip in a false one, and when that false one hits them, they know exactly that's a false dollar bill. But we don't sit around this mess and study all the false. Study what's right. Then if there's something comes in contrary to the word, there's a little control tower, and they say, that ain't right. Something wrong with that. Let the church get cleaned up, church. Let's come back to the word. Make it our absolute. You don't have to worry about that, all that false stuff. It'll manifest itself. You believe that? Say amen. Now listen to this. A courager, he has action. He doesn't act. What this pastor needs tonight is not a bunch of actors. He needs action that comes out of pure hearts. That's what God needs tonight. God needs people that care about one another. The Holy Ghost is down there. You genuinely care about people. Not to be noticed, not to be recognized, but to be a real brother and sister in Christ. Now find out that a few chapters later, there's a man that's out killing Christians. By the way, he's a religious man. Look, like somebody texted me on my way to church tonight, said Christians can be mean. I said, yeah, they sure can. It's one of the meanest folks there is. That's right. You know, so-called religious folks killed my Lord. It wasn't a woman caught in adultery that killed Jesus. It wasn't the drunkards he was hanging out. It wasn't the publicans. You know, and it certainly wasn't the tax collectors. And I can't stand them folks. But it wasn't them. No, sir. It wasn't those guys. It was a religious crowd that hated Christ. It was Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus was a friend of sinners and publicans. Amen. As a matter of fact, the prophet said they didn't hurt his reputation. He said they gave him his reputation. Sinners is what needs a Savior. The religious bunch is the ones that never would admit they were sinners. And they're the ones that gave Jesus his problem. Saul was a religious man. And he was persecuting the church. Amen. But one day on the road to Damascus with the letters in his hands from the high priest to kill Christians, he met his match. There was a light shone from heaven and struck him off his high horse of pride. Laid him on his back, and we know what happens. We know the story. He's blinded for several days. He ends up being sent down to a street called Straight. That's a good place to get saved. Amen. Get saved under a good straight preacher. Somebody preaching it straight. Got down on a street called Straight, and his eyes got open, and he got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, let me tell you what happens. Everybody ain't excited about Saul getting saved. Everybody ain't happy about it. Matter of fact, the scripture said when the other apostles heard that Saul got saved, they didn't say, hey, call him up, let's have revival. No, these apostles, the scripture said, they was afraid of this guy. Said, hey, he ain't fooling nobody. That man's too wicked to get saved. Oh, brother, God can save the meanest man there is in the city. I know he can. I know some folks God saved. Where would you be tonight had not God saved you one day? Some of you be standing on a street corner selling your body. Some of you might be down there sitting in a bar with a beer in your hand. You don't know where you'd be tonight if it hadn't been the grace of God. I tell you where I was headed. I was headed to a jail cell. God turned my life around. Amen, church. They said, well, this is a trick. Surely this man didn't get saved. Let me say what the Bible said. They was afraid of him. But Acts chapter 9, let me just open up here for a minute, read it to you. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Listen to what the Bible said. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 said, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed him to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But I'd like you to pay attention to which guy stood up for him. And the Bible said in verse 27, but Barnabas took him. Glory. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Brother, Barnabas, the man that was the encourager, told these apostles, let me tell you something. Look where God brought y'all from. If God brought y'all from where he brought you from, and he brought me where he brought me from, he can bring Saul from where he brought him from. And by the way, his name ain't Saul. His name is Paul. And don't call him Saul no more. God changed who the man is. Can I tell y'all something? When God changes a person around, and God changes their life, you ain't got no business talking about what they used to do. I'll go further than that. When God saved you and brought you out of sin, you ain't got no business bragging on what you used to be. What you do in the darkness ain't something to brag about. What you ought to be bragging on is on the grace of God. And I'd be in hell if it wasn't for God's grace. Praise the Lord. Brother Bem said we all deserve to die and go to hell. You're quiet tonight, but that's the truth. It's exactly right. But they was afraid of him. But Barnabas, the man that was in the encourager, said, wait a second, guys. I was with the man. I heard him down there preaching in the name of Jesus. And he stood up for Paul, and he gave him a chance. While others, listen, here's an encourager. Not just action versus an actor, but how about this? A chance while others criticize. A real encourager gives people a chance while other people are criticizing. Now let me explain something to you. You remember when God turned Abram around and made him Abraham. Remember that? Do you know God changed him from Abram to Abraham? And Abraham was laughed at and mocked at because of his name change. Brother, but when God changes a man, he has no identity with the old life. Amen. How about when this prophet took you from just church and now called you bride? When he took you from sinner and made you a saint. This is your new identity right here. Amen. You know what God did? He changed Abram to Abraham, changed Sarai to Sarah, and he gave them a name that matched the identity or the coming promise. And they may have even had to bear the reproach for that name change. But brother, they had to testify what God said until their bodies came subject to the change that God put on them. And brother, he put a change on us tonight. He changed from what we was to what we are. And he's identified us with the great promise of God this age. When the prophet called you bride, he's talking about somebody that's going to go in the rapture. We might be ostracized, criticized, but God put an identity on us that matches the promise of God for this age. Can you say praise the Lord? So we see that Barnabas gave Paul now a chance. Oh, brother. My. Aren't you glad God gave you a chance? Now look, if God gave you a chance, why can't you give somebody else? I see where God brought me from. I do. I see where God brought me from. God brought me from a Pentecostal church. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I love the Pentecostal folk. I got a lot of Pentecostal friends. I mean that. And people I love. And I wonder how in the world God wouldn't show them this message. Why'd he show me and won't show them? I can't explain that to you. You'll go your whole life not understanding why somebody else can't see it and you see it. The only thing you're going to attribute that to is the grace of God and election. It's the only thing you can attribute that to. It ain't because we're better. Matter of fact, I'll go further. It ain't even because we live better. As a matter of fact, some of us live worse. But it ain't based upon our works. It's based upon His grace. Can you say praise the Lord? Not long ago, I met an old Pentecostal preacher friend of mine. Went down to Georgia and met with him. Walked in his camper down the way. He's preaching a revival. Tears flowing down his face. And after 20-some years, I took this message to him 20-some years ago. 20-some years later, I go back. He's an aged man, almost 70 years old. And I walk in, tears rolling down his face. He said, "Son, what you told me 20-some years ago, I found to be true." I said, "What is that?" He said, "Christ has been put on the outside of the Laodicean church age." I said, "That's the truth, brother." I invited him to come down and preach for us. And I, "Oh, my. Really?" I said, "Yeah, really. Just several weeks ago. Look, they can't hurt us. But we can help them. But have we got so far along, we forget that's where we were and that's where God brought us from? And you know where I'm at today? Somebody gave me a chance. When I was an 18-year-old boy, preaching down in Tipton, Georgia, in a tent meeting, a young man come in that night, sat on the front row. He invited me to his home that night. I didn't want to go, but I went anyways. The preacher said, "Go on down there." When I went in there that night, that boy gave me a chance to hear the voice of a prophet of God. I'm glad somebody gave me a chance. Somebody just didn't see me as some Pentecostal preacher, but they saw me as a potential that God could get a hold of. I went in that night, and brother, he didn't start me out easy. He didn't give me some little flowery message. That boy threw serpent seed on me. I went in that back bedroom. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you how it was. I went in his living room. I knew he wasn't married. I knew that immediately. Every one wall had nothing but eagles. Another wall had nothing but Brother Man's pictures. And another wall had nothing but tapes. I said, "Ain't no way this man's married." My conclusion was, this man followed one man, listened to his tapes, and worshiped birds. That's the way I thought about it. He said, "Brother Reed, I brought you here tonight. I want to tell you about a man named William Branham." I said, "What about him?" And I heard William Branham's name, but he was just put in the same class as A.A. Allen, Jack Cole, and anybody else. Just some preacher from years ago. Never had no clue who he was. But he gave me a chance. Every preacher that was in that meeting with me, I was just a young 18-year-old boy. I took it back to them after I heard about it, and every one of them blasted, wanted nothing to do with it. Mocked and made fun of it. I took that tape that night he gave me. Matter of fact, it wasn't one tape, 90-minute tape. It was two of them. It'd be one thing to ask me to listen to a message, but my God, you give me two 90-minute tapes? That's half the night. I went in there and took that tape player. Y'all know how it was back then. Battery operated. Little brown cassettes. I stuck that first one in. And I heard a man just open his mouth, begin to speak. And something in my heart just jumped. I was waiting on him to explain it. And I waited for an hour and a half. Waiting on him to explain it. 2 hours passed. I said, "My God, is he ever going to explain it?" But he said enough that I knew something was different. But my old Pentecostal mind, you know how it works. We got it all figured out. I couldn't wait till that next morning. Meet him in that loom. I was going to straighten him out on this serpent seed stuff. Brother, everything I said, he had an answer for. Had an answer for. And the truth is, my heart was telling me it was right. But my mind was fighting against it. I said, "Where does he live?" He said, "Well, he was from Jeffersonville." That next morning, I got in my van. And I headed to Jeffersonville. I was coming up there to check it out, and it was in the old building then. I went in, I said, "Give me every book. If I can afford it." Back then, I couldn't even afford the tapes. I hardly could afford a hamburger. But they gave me all the books free, and I just sat and read the book. Boy, I couldn't wait to take this message to Pentecost. They were going to love it. And the first two messages I got into was the worst ones you could have got into. I got into anointing ones at the end time, and the seed is not ever to shuck. And you don't preach that to Pentecostals. I went down to Georgia. Y'all forgive me. I was preaching for a woman preacher. Somehow the news got back to her a little bit about Luke's been dabbling into a man named William Branham's message. I was preaching that night, and she called me to the platform. I said, "I want to preach tonight on a message called 'The Seed Is Not Air With a Shuck.'" And I heard a voice in the back go, "Amen." I said, "Now there's a problem here." I looked back, and it was that boy that had gave me the tapes. And I said, "Man, I'm in trouble now." They all knew who he was. Brother, when I was done preaching that night, that woman preacher took me out and said, "This meeting closed." I said, "That ain't no problem. I got a bunch of other places to preach." I went up to Schuylkill Haven, Pennsylvania. Started that next weekend on Saturday night. I stood up and preached that same message. Sunday morning, I figured I'm by. Now, I got by on this one. The next morning, I was going to preach on the masterpiece. And you thought I'd been in California. And I saw the monster, because I preached it all in the first person. I didn't really know you were supposed to tell them somebody else said that. That Sunday morning, before I stood up and preached, some old man stood up. He said, I want to say something. I said, go ahead, sir. He said, last night I came with my fork. This morning I come with my pitchfork. I thought I heard Malachi 4 again. I was like, oh my God. When that meeting was over, I went to the pastor's house. We went back there, and the pastor come out with a bunch of books of Brother Branham. I said, I know where you got your messages. This meeting's over, and you'll never preach in this church again. I said, that ain't no problem. I got 40 more churches to preach in. I went over to Parkersburg, West Virginia, right across Belpre, Ohio, two apostolic churches, and I was preaching there. I preached them same two messages. I should have had enough common sense to change them, but I didn't. I kept preaching them. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. The preacher took me into his house in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He said, sit down here, son. I had another brother with me. We sat down on the couch. He went to the back room, came back out, and handed me a picture. He said, look at that. And I looked at it, and Brother Branham was in Parkersburg, 1953. He was standing on the platform. He said, who's that man standing next to him? I said, I don't know. He said, that's me. I'm the pastor that had William Branham here in 1953. He said, you'll never preach in this church again. Then he proceeded to tell me how Brother Branham went off the word. I said, brother, if that man went off the word, wherever he jumped off at, let me jump off the same place. Because he produced more Christ than any man I ever seen. Before I could get to my next meeting, the calls had done been made. Every door that I preached in shut on me. Brother, it wouldn't matter if the whole country turned against me. God gave me a chance. But I'd have stood alone. I believed it so much I'd have stood alone. I had that van. I had a bookshelf in the back of it. And I had every book I could find. And brother, I was just satisfied. God gave me a satisfying portion. And finally, God opened the door and gave me some of the best friends in the world. I still love those people. But I'm glad that night, at 18 years old in Tipton, Georgia, somebody gave me a chance. Somebody gave me a chance. Now look, I'm just not talking about just a sinner coming off the street, but I'm talking about, brother, somebody gave you a chance. Let me just say it like this. Somebody even gave us a second chance. Let me go further. Somebody even gave us a third chance. And I'm just going to put it like this. Even if you have a believer that's among you that makes a horrible mistake, think about where God brought you from. Amen. And I'm going to say it like this. Second chance Christians are not second class Christians. If God can forgive a man and put his sins under the blood of Christ, he stands just as righteous as somebody that never did commit it in the first place. God's grace is bigger than what a lot of us will make it tonight. But I'm so glad God gives us a second chance. I'm glad God gives us a chance. Amen. Another chance, a second chance, a third chance. If he wasn't a God of chance or not, I wouldn't even be here. Let me tell you what happens. Barnabas stands up for Paul. And he gets the apostles to accept him. So now Barnabas and Paul hook up and become missionaries. And they travel together. And did you know that Barnabas had a nephew whose name was John Mark? And they took John Mark on a missionary trip. And John Mark, I don't really know him. I never met him. I'm going to one day. I kind of got a feeling he might be a little bit like myself. I think he was kind of a mama's boy. And he couldn't take the heat of the missionary trip. And the Bible says that Barnabas and Mark was traveling with Paul. And somewhere on that missionary trip, Mark left him. He deserted him. In the 15th chapter of Acts, Paul and Barnabas was hooking up again to go on a second missionary trip. And the guy that gave Paul a chance wanted to give John Mark another chance. And so he says, Paul, I'm going on this trip with you, but I'm bringing John Mark. And said, oh, no, you're not. I know what that boy did to me the last trip we was on. He's a deserter. He ain't going on this trip. I could just hear old Barnabas say, wait a second, Paul. Do you realize that when God saved you, them apostles didn't give you a chance and I stood for you? Now we're not going to give John Mark it And the Bible said, it's what it said. I didn't make this up. The contention got so sharp between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark that they actually parted ways. That's a scripture. But brother, I got to look at this one day. I know God has a way of doing things. Verse 39 said the contention was so sharp between them that they departed. And Paul took Silas and went on his trip. And Barnabas took Mark and they went another way. One day I got to reading the scripture, man. And I'm telling you, I was so encouraged. Because Paul got to the place that every man forsook his ministry. Boy, you talk about types. I love this one right here. The Bible said that Paul said, all men forsaken me. The first messenger had a man by the name of Demas that forsook him, having loved this present world. The last messenger also had a Demas that forsook him. Y'all just have to forgive me on this. But the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, have loved this present world. Then he said in verse 11, only Luke is with me. I said, praise God. Said, praise God, Paul had a Luke. But I'd like to read this to you. I don't know what happened. I don't know what took place. I don't know. I just tell you this. I'm glad Barnabas gave Mark another chance. Because here's what Paul said. He said, hey, all men have forsaken me. Demas have forsaken me. Only Luke is with me. But take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me to the ministry. Brother, Barnabas gave Mark another chance. And before it was over, the messenger of the age said, hey, I know that the contention was sharp between me and Barnabas, and I wouldn't take John Mark, but I seen what God did in him and said, you bring him with you. He's profitable for the ministry. Thank God that God gives men a second chance. Thank God God's got some people that gives others a second chance. Hey, you can't look at where people are right now. You can't judge them for where they're at right now. You got to look and believe what God can do with them. But you never know what God can do with somebody if you don't give them a chance. Can you say praise the Lord? Brother, you fail. Listen, bless God, you fail. Get up, repent. If you fall, stand back up. You fall again, stand back up. You fall again, stand back up. Keep going for God no matter what happens. Don't ever quit. It's the quitter that loses. It's a man that can fall flat. Hey, I fell on my face many a times. But if you fall, get back up. You say, well, Brother Luke, how many times, bless God, we got to forgive somebody. You really want to know? Let me tell you what your Lord said. Well, brother, you know, you can imagine Peter standing there. Surely he'll say just seven times. He didn't just say seven times. And he didn't even say seven times seven. That would have been real scriptural. No, he said seven times 70. 490 times. You got to forgive somebody. Well, I ain't going to do it. Well, you know where that puts you at? Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. This is what the scripture said. The man ought to take heed. Every man that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. This is one I've always stood with. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, not you that's carnal, but you that's spiritual, restore such a one. Listen to how he tells you to do it. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Thank God, God is a God that gives another chance. Let me tell you this. Here's a prophet by the name of John the Baptist. I mean a forerunner of the first coming of Christ. The man that stood there with his own eyes and saw the Spirit of God descend on our Lord, and a voice speak out and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And John the Baptist was the man that said, there cometh one after me that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. I baptize with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm talking about the man that was the forerunner of the first coming of our Lord Jesus. But one day, he preached on marriage and divorce, and he got women mad. When you're a preacher, you don't get women mad. Elijah got a woman mad. That's hard to understand, ain't it? Bless God, stay on top of that mountain, challenge all them false prophets, and one woman gets after him. Whew. Them Jezebels are rough, ain't they? You know, you think you're just doing something to a man of God, but I tell you what the prophet of God said about her whole seed line when they did John the Baptist that way. That woman's daughter come up, her birthday come up, said, tell him you want the head of John the Baptist. So they put John the Baptist in prison. Now remember, this is the same man that came back dead from his mother's womb when the name of Jesus was spoken. This was the same man that said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's the same man that was taught in the wilderness for years by the Holy Ghost. The man that actually baptized the Messiah. The man that saw the pillar of fire come down and rest upon him. But he gets in prison in Matthew chapter 11. Something happens to him. We're talking about a vindicated prophet now. And his eagle eye got filmed over. And the prophet says that John, when they cast him into prison, this foul woman, he sat back there and began to get moody. John had a breakdown in the prison. He was a high-pitched prophet. Nerves on the edge and his eagle eye got filmed over and he said, go see if I've been wrong. Can you imagine? You imagine them disciples thinking, said, wait a second, it's the man we've been following. He introduced Christ. Now he's telling us, go ask him. Is he him or shall we look for another? Look, there's a difference in unbelief and doubt. Look, you can't doubt something unless you believed it. But you can disbelieve something when you've never believed it. All Christians deal with doubt. That crosses your mind. You struggle with that. People get them too confused. This was a prophet. So he gets two disciples and he says, hey, look, man, I don't even know no more. I got put in jail one day, but I didn't like it. I'm telling you, I wasn't bred for jail. Judge told me, he said, well, maybe the Lord struck. I said, no. You let them out, I'll talk to them out here. I don't need to get in there to talk to them. They knew I didn't belong in there. A lady told me, said, sir, you don't belong. I said, no, ma'am, I don't. Go ahead and send me out now. I said, no, we can't. God is down there in Florida for disturbing the peace, preaching on the streets. A buddy of mine stood before a judge, and the judge said, sir, you know why we have you here? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, what are you here for? I said, well, you said I was disturbing the peace. The judge said, that's right. That's why you're in jail, you're disturbing the peace. He said, you got anything to say about it? And preach for him. I said, yeah, I got something to say about it. So what is it? He said, the Bible said there is no peace to the wicked, so how can we disturb something they ain't got? And the judge said, case dismissed. John the Baptist got discouraged. Doubt hit him. Is this him or shall we look for another? And he sent two disciples. And they go down there and find our Lord. And he's down there preaching the gospel. And they come up there. Could you imagine that crowd? Here's everybody knows John the Baptist. Everybody knows he introduced Christ as the Messiah. And these two disciples said, hey, can we say something? Our Lord said, sure, what is it? Said, we're disciples of John. And he told us to ask you, are you him or shall we look for another? And Jesus said, go back and tell John the poor has the gospel preached to him. Tell him down there on the Sabbath last Saturday, a blind man read the scriptures. Tell him the deaf is hearing. The dumb is talking. The dead's being raised. Brother, they took off. They couldn't go. Wait, they go back. They got above that hill and Jesus said, hey, wait a second. And they stopped. And Jesus looks at the crowd and said, there ain't been another one born greater than John the Baptist. Brother, they took off, got down to prison. John said, hey, what did he say? He said, John, tell you that the blind seeing, the dumb's hearing, the gospel being preached to the poor, and went on down the line and said, well, boys, I guess it's him. He said, yeah, but John, he told us to tell you one more thing. What is it? He said, to tell you, there ain't been a greater born among women than John the Baptist. Brother, that old eagle eye, I can imagine that film raised up, said, take me down there to the chopping block, take my head off. Why, Jesus gave John the Baptist another chance. Brother, I believe it's good enough for a prophet of God. It's good enough for us tonight. Amen. Tell somebody who they are. Don't tell them what they're not. Tell them what they are. Don't tell them what they can be. Tell them what they can become. Amen. Transforming power. Can you say praise the Lord? Let me close on this tonight. I want you to see this. All through the Bible. Now here's what I want you to see. A man that's an encourager, he has action, not just acting. A man that's an encourager, that man gives people a chance while other people criticize. Let me tell you something else. A man that's an encourager wants to help people while others just want a position. Now let me explain something to you. For the first 13 chapters of the book of Acts, it's Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. Study it. Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. But after the 13th chapter, it wasn't Barnabas and Paul no more. It was Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Brother, Barnabas wasn't a guy looking for position. He was a man that just wanted to help somebody. Had a guy one day said, oh, why can't I be a trustee? I said, you can, bless God. The grass needs cut next week. Well, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, that's what a trustee does. A trustee just don't have a position. Hey, I'm trustee. We control the finance. No, you get your hide out there and cut the grass and paint the building. It ain't position. It's helping folk. A deacon ain't somebody just running around, flashes his badge, waits on somebody to say amen too loud so they can correct them. I used to believe for years that a deacon, the word deacon and demon was the same Greek word. And I had to study it out and find out it wasn't true. I'm just kidding you, deacons. Lord Jesus, somebody go tell that. No, it ain't about position. Really, it's not. It ain't about who's got the position in church. It's about who wants to help somebody. That's what a real encourager is. It's not about titles. You know, that crowd, Jesus met them one day. It's all about titles. We have Abraham, our father. We have Moses. Finally, one day, Jesus met him and said, hey, we have Abraham. He said, so you claim to be the children of Abraham? He said, yeah, we're the children of Abraham. He said, I tell you what then. If you're the children of Abraham, won't you do the works of Abraham? He said, because your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. But y'all bunch is mad. And do you know that crowd met the same thing that Abraham met? Abraham met Elohim veiled in human flesh, and he rejoiced when he met him. And these Pharisees claimed to be the children of Abraham, and they also met Elohim in human flesh, but they weren't acting the same way Abraham did. Abraham was glad, and they were mad. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. Say, did you mean to tell me Abraham saw Jesus' day? Yes, in Genesis 18. When Elohim walked up there veiled in the form of Melchizedek, he met God veiled in human flesh, and he rejoiced in it. Amen, church. Can I tell y'all something? If we're the royal seed of Abraham, we'll act toward this ministry the same way Abraham acted to it 4,000 years ago. We'll be glad over what we've seen in this day. Amen. Forget the titles. We want to help people. We want to encourage someone in Christ. I want that reputation. Somebody say, oh my, here comes so-and-so. Get ready. No, you don't want that kind of reputation. You want to create an atmosphere where people love to be around you. You got something good to say to somebody. Let me say this as we close. Every head bowed just a moment. Musicians come. I'll tell you what the prophet said. He said, not for one moment do I bring a message that people may follow me or join my church or start some fellowship organization. I have never done that and will not do that now. I have no interest in those things. But I do have an interest in the things of God and, listen, and people.
I do have an interest in the things of God and people. One thing you'll have to say about your messenger is he loved people. Brother Billy said one day, said Daddy had a way of making you feel you were more important than him. I love what he said about his daddy. He said, you couldn't tell his enemies from his friends. Now, whatever spirit William Branham had, I trust you could lift your hand tonight and say, Lord, let me have that same exact spirit. He said, if I can accomplish just one thing, I will be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and men, wherein men become new creatures in Christ, filled with His Spirit, and live according to His Word. He says, I would invite, plead, and warn all to hear His voice at this time. I love this. And yield your lives completely to Him. Even as I trust in my heart that I have given my all to Him. God bless you, He says. And may His coming rejoice in your hearts. My brother and sister, the greatest power in the world today is divine love. Let's just bow our heads tonight and have a word of prayer before our pastor comes. Father, what a great privilege it is tonight to hear the word. For you to speak to our hearts, oh God. Lord, I trust tonight that the word would just penetrate the soul of your children. We've ever needed, Lord, as the prophets say, one another, we certainly need it now. He gave that warning many years ago to his own church and said, Satan will never let you stay this way. Every target that he's got his gun set on us. Lord, we're fighting an enemy today, and it's certainly not our brother and sister. We've got to be able to identify who our enemy is and then bind our hearts together in Christian love and defend one another and encourage one another. Oh God, may tonight you open our eyes and put our guns on the right thing upon the enemy and set our eyes upon Christ, not on one another. And oh God, as the scripture admonishes us to do, is to pray for one another. Father, may not that just be words, but may that sink in the heart of every person tonight. While our heads are bowed tonight, if you're here and you say, preacher, that's sure my desire to just serve the Lord and to live simple and to love my brother and encourage my brother and sister, you pray for me that God give me grace to do that. Would you lift your hands in this place, all over this place? God bless you, all over. Thank you so much. Father, you see the hands tonight, Lord. That's a desire to serve you, Lord. We realize, oh God, where you brought us from. Lord, I don't know where it'd be tonight if it hadn't have been for your grace. Lord, I pray that grace and mercy and peace would be multiplied upon your children tonight. May you bless every hand that went up, Lord. You see our hearts tonight. You see our desires. May you grant it to us now. Release it back to us, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Could we stand together just for a moment? Could we just lift our hearts up? I wonder if we could sing that song as you come, brother. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Could we just sing that together? Amen. Help me sing it. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him because he first loved me. And purchased my salvation on Calvary. Oh, let's just lift our hands to the Lord now. All over, let's sing it. Oh, I love. Salvation.
say that softly. Aren't you thankful that Jesus gave you a second chance? Oh, thank God for grace. Where would we be without His grace? And just look around, and I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I believe this is what we had need of tonight. And knowing that there's many that need to have grace for themselves to realize that Jesus can give you a second chance. Knowing that there's others that maybe you have need to realize that if He gave you a second chance, you ought to give somebody else a second chance. Amen. God's good, isn't He? I love that story of Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. I've always loved that story. Oh, it might have been hard. The Bible said the contention between them was so great they divided. People could look and say, how? Barnabas must have been just an old hypocrite to turn away and walk away from Paul. No, the Holy Spirit needed to use him in two different areas. So He sent John and Barnabas to one area, and He sent Paul and Silas to another area. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. And one day Paul realized there was something about old John Mark that maybe old Barnabas was right. And he said, I have needs of him. He's beneficial to my ministry. Bring him with you when he comes. Maybe that one that you gave up hope on. Maybe some of the preachers that you think, why on earth would Brother Nathan have them through? Because I want them to encourage the people. Because they're encouragers. Maybe you could look and say, well, if I was Brother Nathan, I sure wouldn't have this brother, that brother. Why would you have brothers like Luke Gibson or Jason Watkins or Tim Pruitt or Ron Spencer that can preach circles around you, Brother Nathan? Doesn't it embarrass you to have men that can preach like that? No, it's not about me. It's about encouraging people. Amen. Oh, my, maybe that one that maybe you're upset at right now. Maybe there's somebody in your family. Maybe there's somebody in the ministry. Maybe there's somebody in the message that you're just so upset with right now. You think God will never give them a chance. You better be careful. Maybe that's the one that God's using to get a hold of your son or your daughter or somebody down the road. Maybe they'll witness to them. Amen. Don't write anybody out. You let God. As we preached Wednesday night, Brother Branham said, let's wait till we get over on the other side and God will show us who's right and wrong. He said, for right now, let's just worry about getting them to the other side. Amen. Too many pulpit hours have been spent trying to prove people wrong. I don't want to get up here and try to prove people wrong. I want to be an encouragement, try to help somebody. Amen. I hope you feel the same way. Maybe you don't have a pulpit, but hey, your life is a pulpit. People see you. Brother Branham says, somebody's watching you. What you do, your actions will be an influence on somebody. Amen. Let's just sing this tonight. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. Thank you, Jesus. God's mercy, it rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but His mercy, it rewrote. Oh, I wonder if the Apostle Paul, when he got in some of his first revivals, if he could say, God's mercy, friends, it rewrote my life. Yes, His mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. Friends, when I should have fallen, my soul cast down, what is your mercy? Oh, it rewrote my life. Just play that softly if you would. I can just picture tonight the woman at the well. Brother Luke, she'd probably been out of church for a long time. But one day she met a man. One day she met a man. It wasn't just a man, but it was somebody that could discern the thoughts and intents of her heart. And he told her about her sins and what she'd done. She ran into the city. She began to tell. She began to witness. I can imagine her first day back at church. Maybe she is embarrassed. Maybe if it had been a lot of message churches, maybe they wouldn't have been let her in. But she walks in. Maybe she sits on the back pew and people begin to look around.
aren't you that lady we used to see? Oh, she said, but yes, I was. But mercy, it revealed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Mercy, it rerose. Oh, where would any of us have been without it? I know I would. I'd have fallen, my soul cast down. But his mercy, it rerose my life. Let's sing it again together. Let's just worship him. Oh, his mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, when I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life. Let's just bow our heads together again tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to take a few minutes to say we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father. Maybe you gave us second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many chances, Father. Lord, you are mindful of us. You look beyond our faults. You look beyond our mistakes. You looked at an attribute that you'd placed in us before the foundation of the world as a predestinated seed. You look beyond our sin, Father. You look beyond our bad decisions. You look beyond our bad choices. You look beyond our inability, Father. Lord, you saw a need. You didn't just see the need, Father, but you looked and you saw that predestinated seed. You saw that no matter how far we'd stooped or how deceived we'd become, that there was something within us, a deep calling to deep. That we could recognize this. Maybe there were others that were so much worthier to receive it. Maybe they lived a better life. Maybe they had more talents. Maybe they had more ability. But you looked past them, Father, because there was no quickening seed there. As your prophet said, there's no quickening in non-seed. And you looked down, and maybe we'd become degraded and unworthy and unlovable. But yet you looked down, you loved us. You lifted us back up out of the miry clay. You molded us and remade us, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving us another chance, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Help us never to get to the spot where we think we're somebody, Lord. Where we think we're better than somebody, or that we're a little self-righteous, or that we know the message a little better than somebody. Oh, help us not to look to all that intellectual knowledge and worldly wisdom, but help us to look back where you found us and recognize we're nothing. As the prophet said, we read the quote here Wednesday night, we're nothing. We're nothing without you, Father. But it's just your grace to us. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for finding us, Lord. Thank you for stooping and reaching down and picking us up. Oh, when we'd fallen so low into sin, so low into false doctrine, so low into poor choices, and that you reached down and picked us up. Thank you, Jesus. All we can say is thank you, Jesus. For it's amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. You see it saved a wretch. Lost, oh, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Let's sing it this way together. Oh, praise God. Thank you.
be seated for a few moments, you can. Or if you want to stand, you can remain standing, however you feel comfortable. Let's just take a few moments to worship the Lord together. Pray for these that have needs tonight. It'll lead me home.
the sand. Lord, it saved a wretch like me. Lord, I once was so lost, but now, oh, I was blind. Touching Jesus is all that really matters, and then your life will never be the same, for there's only all that really matters. Oh, then your life will never be let's just believe when you call. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call His name.
Amen. God bless you. It's been good to be in church. Amen. Remember service tomorrow at Sunday school at 10:30 and service at 11. Let's just sing this together tonight before we go. Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem.
Somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. Tonight you're dismissed. Let's just sing it as we go. We're afraid.